scripture, John 10:10. This part of my Bible, the chapter is entitled Jesus the True Shepherd. And verse 10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." For those that are able, I would invite you to kneel for prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this Sabbath day. You have invited us to stop our daily activities, to spend more time with you, worshiping you, learning more about you and how much you so love us. And we thank you for that opportunity. You have promised that where two or three are gathered, that you would be with us. And so we appreciate your presence with us at this time. Father, we want to lift up our homebound members. We are so glad that Ruby Jo is doing better and that she's able to care for herself a little bit more. We ask that you would continue to go with her. We also lift up Lelaine's niece, Christine, as she is in the hospital, very slowly recovering from many strokes. Father, we ask that you will lay your hand on her and give her a complete healing. You are the one that can perform miracles, and we believe in that. Some of us have had that happen to our own selves, and so we claim that for Christine. Father, we thank you for the opportunities that we are able to give monetarily to help our church in so many different ways. We ask that you would bless the religious liberty offering, that it will be able to do the work that it's intended. We also pray for our children's offering as it goes towards our student aid. And we thank you that we have our school and that our children are able to attend there. We ask now, Father, that you would be with Angel as he gives us the word, as he tells us about the life that you have always wanted us to have, to be able to live more abundantly. We ask that these words that he gives will be the words that you want him to say. Bless us through this service, for we ask in your name, amen.
Message to you is the life that God has always wanted you to have. You know the meaning of the promise of John 10:10 varies from Christian to Christian. Some say that Christ is only promising spiritual blessings such as an abundance of grace, peace, love, and salvation, but no material blessings. Others say that Christ meant that the New Testament church was going to experience a better spiritual life in contrast to the Old Testament church of the Mosaic Law. Others think that God gives spiritual blessings and material blessings to those that are good saints. Yes. And others think that, yes, this promise, it's all about material things. And they pray and wait for those material things, blessings. And when they don't come, they leave the church seeking their material blessings elsewhere. You know? And then there are others that say, God only cares about obedience. He doesn't care about our happiness. My mission this morning is to give the promise of John 10:10 some clarity. Father, I pray this morning that you use me as your instrument to be a communicator of encouragement, to be a communicator of counsel, Lord. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. The principle that governs the motives of our God is love. It's the same principle that governs the motives of parents. And as parents, we want what is best for our children. We dream of them having a successful life. We call them and talk to them and we say, we are cheering for you to have a successful life. And because we want them to have a successful life, we give them principles to live by. And when our children grow up and they abandon these principles, you feel sad. But we pray and hope that our children will return back to the principles that we taught them. This morning we're going to see that God, our loving God, our loving Father, acts in a similar way towards us. When God created Adam and Eve, he put them in a garden called Eden. And the meaning of Eden means pleasure or delight. He wanted that couple to enjoy their surroundings, to have pleasure in their new home. He wanted that couple to multiply and become great big family. Imagine that. You know what children bring to a home? Lots of smiles, lots of giggles, lots of joy. Imagine that. God putting them in a garden of pleasure and for them to multiply and bring in more joy into their home. What an idea of our God. What a plan. What a plan. But of course, we know what happened. Sin entered the world, and a new government ruled the planet. But did God's dreams and plans for his children to be successful and happy in a world of sin change? Let's see. Let's go to the Bible now. I'll give you the text in a minute. But when Moses was taking out the children of Israel, when he was leading them out, God had told them that he was going to take them to a land where honey, where the milk and honey flows. And that concept in the mind of a Hebrew meant that there were plenty of green pastures. for their cattle. And those green pastures were full of flowers for the bees, for their pollination, and for all their delicious treats, the honey. For all their desserts, they had all the honey they could want. Now, Deuteronomy 28:12-14. Now, that's the verse. We find this promise. The Lord will open up the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, and send rain on your land in season, and to bless the work of your hands. All the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commandments of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commandments I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. What a wonderful blessing. He was going to open up the blessings of heaven, the store place of blessings from heaven, and blessed everything they did. Did you notice that he says, all of your work would be blessed? Let me ask you something. Do you think it's easy plowing the field with an ox or a horse? No? How about the harvest in baskets and put it in sacks in the heat of the day? Is that easy? Come on. No? I know what's easy. Storing it in a bunch of sacks and then taking it to the store. A house. That's easy. No sweat. Am I wrong? Keep that thought in mind. In a couple of minutes, you'll understand. Well, several years later, or rather, we know what happened next. Israel forsook God and went into the world seeking happiness. This made God very sad. God then could no longer bless them or protect them from their enemies. The first nation that invaded Israel and enslaved them was Babylon. Israel spent 70 years in captivity, but do you think that God abandoned them and wishing for Israel to come back, to return? Do you think that God stopped having plans for Israel? Jeremiah 29, verse 10 through 11 says, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you. I will come to you and fulfill my promise, my good promise, to bring you back to this place, to bring you back to Judea. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God did exactly that. He kept his promise, brought Israel back to Judea, and restored everything they had lost, including their sovereignty as an autonomous nation. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 is also a promise that many Christians think, well, that promise was only for Israel at that particular time. I will talk more about this later. 100 years later, in the book of Malachi, we find Israel pretending to be godly, pious people, and God, through the prophet Malachi, confronts them about how they have lost their love for Him. And among other problems was corruption, injustice, idolatry, and the robbing of His tithe and offerings. In the first chapter of Malachi, God tells His people that He still loves them despite their failures. And He wishes them well and still wants to bless them abundantly. And in chapter 3, we find this promise. I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, my plans do not change for you. I still want to bless you abundantly. So, you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestor, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will turn to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to turn to you? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In the blessings of offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be found food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be no room in the storehouse. This particular blessing or promise does not sound like a spiritual blessing to me. You don't need a storehouse to store spiritual blessings. This promise makes it clear that God also wants to give us temporal and material blessings. But again, these blessings were conditional on obedience and hard work. Now we come to the New Testament. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. The key word is life. And life has four dimensions: spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional. And it is from the emotional dimension where we get the ability to love or feel love, experience joy or happiness. It is because of the emotional dimension that we develop a need to be social and to share our joy and our feelings with others. It is through the physical dimension that we experience our five senses, along with pleasure, self-control, and desires, good or bad desires. Jesus was very aware of these four dimensions of life. That's why He said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The Apostle John, who penned these words, also understood these dimensions. In his third epistle, in verse 2, he says, Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. And in this introduction, John is concerned about the life of the elder Gaius, and he prays, asking God for his prosperity as well as for his health, as his spiritual dimension was prospering. In order for Christians to experience an abundant life, all four dimensions of life have to be flourishing. Satan greatly rejoices when he has fooled you into thinking that God only cares about your spiritual life. But he is wrong. God cares about your marital life. God cares about your social life. God cares about your finances. God cares about your choice of career. God cares about your struggling business. God cares about your life. God cares about your who you marry, who your friends are. He cares about every aspect of your life. He cares about every aspect that affects these four dimensions of life. And when we have a disbalance growth of dimensions, we will then experience unhappiness, an identity crisis, and a sense of purpose in life, and no fulfillment in what we do. At this point, I am anticipating the questions going through your mind. Why am I so broke and miserable? Why am I always in debt? Why can't I ever be ahead? Why can't I get a good job? Why can't I find a good career? Why do I constantly have health problems? Why can't I have a happy marriage? Why are my children not in church? Why? Try to answer these questions in a little while. I know that you have some questions for God. I know that you want to ask God, why is it that whatever you're going through happening to you? Steps of Christ, page 46. It is a mistake to entertain the thought that God is pleased to see his children suffer. All heaven is interested in the happiness of man. Our Heavenly Father does not close the avenues of joy to any of his creatures. I would say as well that God, that heaven is not only interested in our happiness, but it is invested in our happiness. Do you know why heaven is interested in our happiness? I'll tell you why. Because unhappy Christians cannot attract a single fly to the gospel, much less a person. Step to Christ, 116. If we do represent Christ, we shall make his service appear attractive as it really is. Christians who gather up gloom and sadness to their souls and murmur and complain are giving to others a false representation of God and the Christian life. They give the impression that God is not pleased to have his children happy. And it is this, they bear false witness against our Heavenly Father. Do you know what other person can shed more light on this subject of the promise of John 10:10? King David, in his psalm. In his Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The needs of all these dimensions are met in that psalm. And I bet that you never made that connection between David's shepherd and I am the good shepherd. They both are the same, and they both want to give you an abundant life. Going back to the promise of Jeremiah 29:11, the promise was given to Israel while Israel was still in captivity because they forsook God. Today, this promise is for any of us who have separated ourselves from God. The source of true happiness. No matter if you've been gone for a day, no matter if you've been gone for a week, no matter if you've been gone for a year or many years, as Israel did, God misses you and calls out for you to return to him. And he says, I still have plans for you. My plans for you are to give you a hope and a future. Now tell me, which one of you, as parents, rejects a lost son or daughter when they come to the house and says, Mom and Dad, I'm sorry for causing you so much pain. I have wrecked my life, but now I ask that you forgive me and help me rebuild my life. Will these parents say, no son, no daughter, our relationship as a family is over? If we don't do that to our children, what makes us think that God does that to those that have been separated from him and now come back? Now, if we are willing to help our stray children rebuild back their lives because we still love them, now, our God not only takes us back, but he puts on us a new robe, new sandals, and gives us back our family ring. You know what? Along with a new inheritance. And he calls everyone he knows to celebrate with him. All my friends. As I was writing this sermon, I thought about God's love for me. God's love for you. And I was wondering what it took for him, or what made him go to the cross. And I'll explain it to you. Have you ever been in front of a hurricane? Do you know what it is to be in front of a hurricane or blowing wind at 70 miles an hour? Have you ever been in a wind 20, at 35, 45, have you ever felt that pressure pushing you back? You have? When Jesus was telling his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem to die. The Bible says that he was impelled by this force. Like the wind, this power of wind taking him to the cross, pushing him towards the cross. Strong, deep feelings of love took him to the cross. And I thought the nails held him here, there. But you know what? I think it was the strong centrifugal force of love that held them there. He would not get off that cross. He was compelled to die for you and I. Now, that same profound love that nailed him to the cross, that's the same love that he feels for you today. And he wants to give you happiness. He wants to see you be happy. He cares about your happiness. Now, let me address the questions that you may have. I want you to first know that Satan is a roaring lion going around daily seeking to destroy, steal your peace and your joy and your material things. He's the one. And daily he does this, and you don't even know it. And he will try and try because he wants you to separate yourself from God. He'll steal your peace. He'll steal your joy. He'll steal your health. He'll steal your material things. He will drive you into bankruptcy so that you will let go of the hand of God. It was Satan who came to Job and took all of his wealth, children and health. But we know that God is in the business of restoration. He restored all things back to Job. And he wants to do the same in your life. Whatever the devil has stolen from you, God wants to restore it back. Me and my wife like to watch a program, a ministry on YouTube called Aloha Country Living. And it's a ministry, this couple that moved was there were there God led them to Hawaii, and they and their ministry was to show other Christians how to live off the grid, and they built their home, and they had lots and lots of fruit trees and a big, large garden. And soon, a volcano erupted and the lava came down and took their home. And they were all sad about it, wondering why God let that happen when they were on a ministry trying to teach other people how to get out of the cities and how to be
how to be self-sustained, off the grid. And God allows this. But they went back to God. And they said, they asked God to help them rebuild again. And they, and God helped them buy a bigger land in an area that was more expensive. And last time we saw, they were already putting the foundation to the house. And they now have tons of trees of tropical fruits. And me and my wife just enjoy seeing all these tropical fruits that they pick and share with the people. And I want to do the same thing. I want to have a large orchard of tropical fruit. Perhaps you're not reaching your goals because you give in too easily to discouragement. I know what it is to give in to discouragement. I've given up many times, but I've also learned not to give in so easily until my dreams are fulfilled. I can tell you many, many, many stories about God or what God has done in my life. He has blessed me tremendously. A couple of years ago, my health was affected. I had terrible acid reflux. And I wanted to, the doctors put me on something like that. I was taking omeprazole years after years. I said to my wife, no, this is not good. I couldn't live without it a day, or else my acid reflex was terrible. And I had to use the pill. But I said, no, there's got to be a way to cure this. So I tried myself through books and failed. And it was really discouraging to me to try this or try that. And then I went to some doctors, the naturopaths, and he gave me a treatment. The first treatment didn't work. And 6 months later, I went back, and it said didn't work. So he gave me another treatment, and it wasn't working as well. But I said to my wife, okay, I gotta retry again myself. So I kind of got their ideas, and I watched more videos on that matter and combined them together, and voila. No more stomach acid reflux. Don't give up so easily. It's discouraging. Don't give in to discouragement. Second, what you view as misfortunes or a misfortune in your life could be a blessing in disguise for character building and for your faith to grow. What you think that is a misfortune could be a blessing in disguise. And let me explain. Moses spent 40 years in the desert shepherding goats. How could any of us know that God was teaching him patience and meekness? Israel misunderstood the lessons of total dependence on God in the desert, and as a result, they rebelled against God. And As a result, it took them longer to enter the promised land. Could it be that you are wandering in the desert because your failure of grasping the lessons that God wants to teach you? Joseph, in the dungeon, couldn't understand the plans of God until he ascended to power. Then he understood the plans of God for him. He later declared to his brothers, "Now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God." And let me tell you something. God's way of teaching and preparing princes and princesses for the throne of heaven are still the same today. God does not change. So when you feel that you're in the dungeon and God has abandoned you, God has a plan for you. God changes not. In conclusion, all heaven is interested in our happiness. Our God gives us all spiritual and material blessings for our happiness. He will never give us an abundance of material blessings to destroy our relationship with Him. But He is interested in our dreams and wants to participate in the pursuit of our dreams. And He offers to help for us to reach them. My daughter, if she was here, oh boy, she has. When she was planning to go to college, 5 years ago, she says, "Dad, where should I go?" I said, "You will go where God points. And if you don't have the money, if we don't have the money, don't worry about it. If it's His will, it's His bill." That's what I told her, because I have experience in that. See, when I was in college, I would kneel down with the bill and say, "God, this is what you owe." When I left college, I only owed $300. Out of 20,000, I only owe $300. My daughter came back the first year. She was all excited about what God was doing for her. She says, this happened. And thousands of dollars have gone into her education bill. I said, I want you to bring me a whole report. The church will be happy to know that God cares about our happiness. This new year, I challenge you. View all your challenges in your life as opportunities to see God's involvement in your life. View your challenges as opportunities to see God active in your life. This new year, I challenge you. Change your ways of thinking about yourself and renew your mind with the promises of God. He is the ultimate authority about your future. This new year, start a business, a career, develop new skills and talents that will bring you happiness. But know that every dream has its price of hard work. He will bless the work of your hands abundantly, but nevertheless, it's going to be hard work. This new year, don't look at the lack of your skills, knowledge, or resources to acquire your dreams. Look to your Savior and friend, who is the source of all things. That is the life that God has always wanted you to live. Victorious, happy, and successful. Amen. I don't know what to do next. I haven't been up here in years. Who does that? Our loving Father in heaven, your love for us on the cross was immense. And it is the same deep feeling you have for us today. You care for every little thing of our lives. And we ask, Father, that the eyes of understanding of these members may fully understand this force of love and your willingness to bless us. In Jesus I pray. Amen.